We live there in western Idaho, my wife and I. And we live right along the Snake River, or right near the Snake River. And we live, you know, southern Idaho is, well, we live in the valley proper, or in the small valley, out of the valley proper. Yeah, but we're within just a couple miles of, you know, 7,000 foot mountains and beautiful tree area and whatnot. It's of course different than in here. We have trees, but they're not as, you know, dense and whatnot, a little sparser. But it is a beautiful area, and we really enjoy it up there. And I wish every one of you could come visit sometime or another, because it's a great place. I wanted to talk to you today. Wynn mentioned, you know where we are in the count. This is day 28. This is week number 4. And I don't think we've given enough significance to that over the years. I don't think we really understand what that is implying. It says we are to count. We're to count 50 days. And why is that important to us? I'd like to talk a little about that today. I'd like to talk about there are actually 4 names that go along with this season of the year. Four different names that the feast is called. And each one of them brings a little different understanding to what we know about God's feast. There is the Feast of Weeks. There is the Feast of First Fruits. There is the Feast of the Harvest. And there is the Feast of Pentecost. All 4 pertaining to the same 50-day period. And of course let's go to Leviticus 23. I think any time we talk about God's festivals, we need to look at what it says there in Leviticus 23. Because again, I think we do not understand totally the significance of what these days mean to God. We tend to call them the Old Testament feast. The world views them as the Jewish feast. But notice here in verse 2, he says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord." So we know right off that these feast days are called the feast of the Lord. They're not our feast. They're not Jewish feast. He says, you shall proclaim them to be holy times of meeting, holy convocations. And then again, he says, these are my feasts. So the importance that we get from these festival times that we keep as the church groups are God's feasts. They're not ours. We can't ignore them. We can't, you know, we can ignore them personally, but they still exist. They've existed from time eternity. From before the foundation of the world, they've existed. And they are very important to God. And he goes on down in verse 4, he says, "The feast of the Lord, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations. And you are to proclaim them at their appointed time." So I think that's one of the important things that we need to do as churches of God, is to proclaim God's festivals. Because he tells us over and over again that we are to proclaim them. And that's one of the knowledges, one of the things that we have that the general population of the world does not have. They don't know about God's feasts. We do know. And we are to proclaim them. So, of course, this time of the year, the feast here starts down here in verse 10. It says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, and you reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." So here we have the wave sheaf offering. A lot more important than we've ever given significance to, because that is the beginning of the first fruits harvest. That's the beginning of our harvest. It's the beginning of who we are in Christ. And the harvest could not start until that wave sheaf was waved. It says to be accepted on our behalf. Jesus Christ became that wave sheaf, and he was accepted on our behalf. And because he was accepted as our Lord and Savior, we have a Lord and Savior. And that we have an opportunity to go before God. So this is then about Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many, as it says there in Romans chapter 9, or 8, verse 29. So that he, that is Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So Christ was the first fruits. He was the first one. But he says there are many brethren following. That's us. That's all those who have been called in Christ. We are part of that first fruits. Still here in Leviticus 23, it says down in verse 14, you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought the offering to your God, and it shall be a statute forever. So there could be no first fruit church. There could be no followers of Jesus Christ unless he had been the first fruit. He had been accepted, and he was accepted on our behalf. So this is then the first fruits feast, the feast of the first fruits. And we're talking about Jesus Christ being that part of the feast and leading the way for us. In Hebrews chapter 10, turn there, Hebrews chapter 10, if you're following along. And here in, starting in verse 5, Jesus Christ is the offering that was presented before God. He says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, and the volume of the book that is written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus Christ came to do the will of God. God presented him a body. And he came as a sacrifice and as an offering for us to be accepted on our behalf. John 20, verse 17 implies that he was accepted on our behalf. John chapter 20, we see that Mary came up to him after the resurrection. And he said to her, he says, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, to your Father, to my God and your God. He ascended up, he became that wayfarer offering, and he was accepted on our behalf as our Lord and Savior. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. I use different Bibles, and they all have, you know, they all have them in the same place, but some of them are thicker than others, so you turn more pages and you lose it, or you turn less pages. So Colossians 1, starting here in verse 12. So giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the light. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. Jesus Christ was the firstborn over all of creation. In Revelation 1:5, it basically repeats the same thing. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, we'll look at that one. And verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, but now Christ is risen from the dead, it has become first fruits to those who have fallen asleep. And verse 23. But each one of us in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those that are Christ at his coming. So each one has an order. We are first fruits, but we're first fruits after Christ. Christ is the first fruit. So we have then the period of the first fruits. It starts with the wave sheaf offering. But the first fruits continue on because the first fruits of the church. It continues on for a period of time. When you're harvesting grain, and that's what this was, the wheat harvest, there is a certain period of time when you harvest that grain. You can't leave it in the field forever. It has to be harvested by a certain time or it falls over and becomes useless. Like the beet harvests in our area, the sugar beet harvests, they'll start usually first part of October. They'll start digging because they like to wait until there's some sugar content in the beets. And then they have about a month to get them out. So, you know, it'll start a little slow, it'll peak out, and then it'll end up toward the end of the season. Because if they wait much into November, then the ground either gets frozen or, you know, other reasons that they can't get the beets out. So they have a certain period of time. Well, same with the grain harvest. They have a certain period of time to get it out. So we're seeing this period of time. And we, spiritually, as a church, as people, we are in this period of time. We're in the Pentecost season. We are the first fruits. We're being harvested as the Pentecost fruits. And we'll see that as we go along here. Okay, Feast of Weeks, another name that is given to this period of time. We find in Numbers chapter 28. One of the places we find it. Numbers chapter 28. Let's see here. Numbers 28, I'm going to get there sooner or later. Here we are. Verse 26. Also on the day of first fruits, when you bring forth the offering, new grain offering of the Lord to your Feast of Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation and you shall do no customary work. So here we see the name, the Feast of Weeks, along with the name of the first fruits. And we're talking about the same time period. Leviticus 23 verse 15 says, seven Sabbaths you shall count. So this is counting the weeks. We are in the fourth week of Pentecost. We are counting the weeks. So this is part of the Feast of Weeks, part of that harvest period time that we are to be counting. Exodus chapter 34. Let's see here in verse 22, and you shall observe the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits of the Wheat Harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year. So there, it doesn't talk about the Passover there, but it talks about the Feast of Weeks, which is the first fruit of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, which is the other festival, the fall festival. So the Feast of Weeks then is separate from the Feast of Ingathering. That's the two different feasts we're talking about here. Okay, so that leads us then to, this is the wheat harvest, the time of the wheat harvest. So let's go to Exodus chapter 23. So now we have a third name added to this period of time. Exodus chapter 23. And verse 14. Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And then the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field. Again, the Feast of Harvest is a first fruits feast. And then the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year when you have gathered in your fruit of your labors from the field. So there are two harvest periods. And I think, you know, we're well aware of that. We understand that. We have the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits. They're all talking about the same harvest. And this is a harvest period. And this harvest period starts with wave sheaf, and it ends with Pentecost. That's the spring harvest period. Now, you know, it may technically not end with Pentecost. There may always be a few holdover, but generally that's the period of time that the wheat harvest was produced. That's the period of time that God is using to produce the first fruits of the church. Spiritually speaking, looking on into, you know, whenever it'll end is when God decides it'll end. But that will be the day of Pentecost. That's when the harvest is over. Remember, when we talk about these, remember what Paul said there in Colossians chapter 2. He said, I think it is 16 and 17. He says, all these things that God has given us, their substance is to be found in Jesus Christ. The importance of them is found in Jesus Christ. So when we view these holy days in the Old Testament, when we view these things, we realize that they are pertain to salvational matters. They pertain to Jesus Christ and how he works with us. Okay? So when we think about these things, we think about the harvest. We think of it not just as a physical harvest, but as a spiritual harvest, because it pertains to Jesus Christ and to the work that he's doing. Okay, so the question then arises, what is being harvested? We're not talking about the physical harvest. We're talking about the harvest of the church of God. John 4. And this is really, John 4 here, is really the scripture that kind of started me thinking about all this and realizing that there's a lot more to Pentecost than we have always talked about or we have looked at in the past. It's more than just one day. It's a period of time. John 4. Here we have Jesus. He meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And he talks about the Holy Spirit to her. You know, you can look at the first, eight books of John, and you can lay them out according to God's festivals. You can look at chapter 1, and you can see it's talking about, you know, the beginning of who Christ is and whatnot. And each one talks about getting to the fourth one here, which is the Pentecost season, chapter 4. And he talks about the Holy Spirit. And he talks about what that means, the living water and whatnot. So over here in chapter 4, let's go over to verse 34. And now the disciples had gone, they got him some food, they brought it back to him. And verse 33, therefore the disciples said to one another, I guess they offered it to him, let's go back up just a little bit. Verse 32, he says, but I have food to eat which you do not know. Okay? And so they question, you know, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And then Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. Okay, that is Jesus Christ's food, but that is also our food. Our purpose in life, the calling that God has given us, is to do the will of God and to finish the work that he has given us. And he says to them, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already... Oh, wait a minute, I missed the verse. Do not say there are still 4 months, then comes the harvest. Okay, how many months to the fall harvest? We have June, July, August, September, and then then we have the fall harvest. So he's speaking about the spring harvest. When he says, look up, the fields are white. They're white with what? Well, you've seen fields of grain when they're ripe. They're white. They're white with the spring harvest. Okay? And he's telling us then to look up and look around because the harvest is ripe. We're still in the Pentecost season. It's time to reap that harvest. So it says, whoever receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. We have been harvested in the spring harvest, but our job is to go on then and to harvest again. Our job is to tend the crops. Verse 38 says, I have sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. We are entering into the labors of others. There's those that went before us that labored that we might be in this, you know, in this body of Christ. There are those that laid out their lives and their money to help guide and direct us, that we might be where we're at. Well, now it's our job to lay that out, to lay our lives on the line for those who may come up beyond us. We are now laborers in that harvest. And it's far more important than we have realized. We aren't just called to sit back and enjoy what God has given us. We're called to work. We're called to labor. He says the fields are white for harvest. And we are called to do that labor. And he says, my food and my job, my existence is to do the will of God and to finish the work that he has given me to do. The fall festival, the fall harvest is still 4 months away. So we're talking here about the first fruit, the spring harvest. Again, I remind you of 1 Corinthians 15:23, but each in his own order. Jesus Christ, the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Okay, Jesus Christ was the first fruit, but we are those who follow. In Leviticus 23, we all know the verse there in verse 17, it talks about the two bread loaves. It says they are to be baked with leaven. Well, those do not represent Jesus Christ. The offering for Jesus Christ, as it tells us in Exodus 34 and as it tells us in Leviticus 2, could not be offered. You know, blood sacrifices could not be offered with leaven. Leavening could not be burnt on the sacrificial offer. Leavening represents who we are. We are that offering there, that bread offering that was to be eaten by the priest. We are that offering. We are the first fruits. Let's see. I had something down here in my notes that I should read. You know, talking about the job of the church, talking about the job that we have individually. My wife and I have a greenhouse. We grow tomatoes and we sell tomatoes. It's just a small greenhouse. It's only about 3,000 square feet, but it has about 340 tomato plants in it. My wife does the picking. She does the pollinating. She does that part of the job. I do the training of the plants, the working of the plants. Every week, I spend time with each one of those 340 plants. Now, maybe only a minute or two, you know, but I take time to train it. I take time to prune it. We train them up vine. We train them up strings. I suppose some of you have seen how that was done. And they'll get 7 or 8 feet tall, or however tall we want them to go. But we have to prune them and train them up that vine. That's our job. That's your job. Your job is to come into the world and come along those sides of those people who need training, who need help in pruning. As I said, I spend a little time with each plant each week. How much time do we spend working on God's business? He says, our job, our existence is to do the will of God. How much time are we spending doing that will of God? It takes hours to train 340 plants. The people around us are more important than a bunch of plants. We need to consider that in our lives, and who we deal with and who we work with. We can need to consider who we come up against. We need to start, of course, with our families. And I don't mean, you know, if we have families who don't believe like us that we need to berate them or anything. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to work with, to encourage and to help and to train. The purpose is to show them the life of Jesus Christ as they look at us. They should see Jesus Christ. They may not know they're seeing Jesus Christ, but that's who they should see. That's who we should reflect. So I think this time of season, I think we've not given to shift the time that it needs and deserves, that this is the time of the first fruits, and that we are laborers in that harvest. And yeah, there are wages. There are physical wages and there are eternal wages. That's what it says there in John 4. And we're worthy of those wages if we do the job. And God expects us and calls us to do that job. Okay, let's see here. I want to look here because I think Leviticus 23, let's go back there for a minute because I think there was something there I wanted to catch. Oh yeah, let's read verse 17 out in its full context here of Leviticus 23. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves and 2/10 of an ephah, and they shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. They are us who represent the first fruits to God. Those loaves represent us. And we are leavened. We are not perfect. We fall short of the glory of God time and time again. But God is willing to work with us and through us and use us. James 1:18. James 1, verse 18. Oops, come on. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation, or his creatures. He brought us forth by the word of truth. Okay, so we, you know, that's been one of the strong points of the churches of God. His knowledge and truth, but we need spirit and compassion as well. We need to feel for the world as well. We need to have compassion for our brothers. We need to love God and love Jesus Christ with our whole body, mind, and soul. Not enough just to know the knowledge. Not enough just to know that there is a God. We must love that God. And we must love Jesus Christ. We must love our neighbors beyond and above ourselves. In Revelation 14:4, it talks about the 144,000. And it says of them, it says here in verse 4, it says, these are the ones who were not defiled by women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Do you follow the Lamb wherever he goes? Are you doing the will of God? Are you following where he's leading you? It says, who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, these are were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. We are the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. We are to follow Jesus Christ and follow the lead. Okay, so the spring harvest starts with the wave sheaf, and it comes to Pentecost. Okay, in Acts, well, let's see. Let's go first of all to Leviticus, back to Leviticus 23. Okay. Verse 15. And it says, you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the wave sheaf offering, 7 Sabbaths to be completed. It is tied to the wave sheaf offering. You cannot take it away from there because that is the beginning. And that's where you count from. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and you shall offer a new grain offering. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. 50 days after wave sheaf, the day of Pentecost fully come. We have 50 days of harvest. We count those 50 days. They are important. The Jews call it counting the Omer, counting the sheaf of grain. And we account those days. We're to count our lives, how important our life is. Every day we are to be dedicating our lives and our relationship to Jesus Christ. He is who we follow, and it is God's will that we are to be doing and the work that we are to be accomplishing. Every single day is important. We count 50 days, we count 7 weeks. And we come to Pentecost when it has fully come. You know, 50 is the day, is the year of release. It is the year of deliverance, the year of salvation. Jesus Christ came that he might, Luke chapter 4. Let's see, how did he say that? Luke chapter 4. You didn't want to turn. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the Jubilee. Those are all things we as Christians have been called to do. We have been called to do those same things that Christ did. We have been called to set free those who are captive. We have been called to set free and to deliver to the world the message of Jesus Christ, the freedom message. Some of you might have seen the book, Ethelbert Billinger wrote back in the 1800s the number in scriptures. And he, for the number 50, he says it's the perfect consummation of time. The perfect consummation of time. 50 days represents the harvest of the First Fruits Church. And it represents the time that we have been given to harvest the world. Harvest those that God wants harvest. He says, look, the fields are white for harvest. And you are part of the laborers in that field. So the spring harvest begins with Jesus Christ being accepted of our behalf, and it ends with Pentecost fully begun. Romans 8. Okay, get my book to open here. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious and liberty, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. I want to finish up with Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, verse 23, where it says, you have come to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. You are the church of the firstborn. You are registered in heaven. And that is our job, and that is our glory, and that's God's glory. And we have been called to do the will and to finish the work.